They hung their heads in sorrow. Jesus, their Lord, had died. No reason to live tomorrow. 11 bowed down and cried. Then Mary ran down the dusty road, crying, "Peter, come see where he lay. For I've seen the Master outside the tomb. He is risen today. Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose at day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive." Thomas doubted her story. In grief you've imagined this thing. Till I've seen the hands that were riven touch his side, I will never believe. But then an awesome presence filled that place. Jesus appeared in the room. Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God, you're risen today from the tomb. Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose at day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He's alive.
Well, amen, glory. I'd just seen him come back right now, wouldn't you? Folks, we serve a risen Savior. What a glorious thought that is. And one day, if you're a child of God, you're going to get to see that risen Savior. One of these days, it could be in death, or if we hear the trump sound, the cry of the archangel, "They that are dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." As a believer, you ought to be pumped up about that, because I promise you it's better than what you're experiencing today. Thank God for the resurrection of Christ. Let's talk about that a little bit this morning. Matthew 28, if you would please. Matthew chapter number 28. We're going to read the first 8 verses of the final chapter of Matthew's gospel and his account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? Matthew 28, follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Well, I would guess so. From what they experienced, they passed out. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And listen, as he said. Now listen to what he told them. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then he told them, go. Come, see, go. He said, come in, see what's happened. He says, now I want you to go and quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. I want to take these verses this morning, and I want you to go back, if you would, to verse number 6, where the angel says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. And I want to speak to you on the subject of God's grand finale. It's called the resurrection. God's grand finale. It's called the resurrection. Father, would you meet with us now in the few moments that we have? And I pray that, Lord, that you'd speak to us from the precious, inerrant, holy words of Almighty God. And Lord, as we celebrate today the resurrection of thy dear Son, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, what a privilege it is to be in church. Stir our heart, we pray, and we'll give all the glory and we'll give all the praise to thee in Christ's name. Amen, amen, and you can be seated. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the grand finale of his earthly life and mission. Did he not say he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost? May I remind you that multiple times in the ministry of Jesus, he took his disciples aside, and in his message, he communicated what his purpose was. He communicated that his purpose was to come into this world. He was to die, be buried, and after 3 days and three nights, he was to raise again. And so he taught that message over and over again. You see, the virgin birth, the miracles, the teachings, the crucifixion, they were all parts of the fireworks that were leading up to the grand finale of what God's blessings were upon man. Because without the resurrection, the crucifixion was in vain. Without the resurrection, all the miracles, all the teaching, the virgin birth meant nothing. There had to be a culmination of all of it. And all of these things were leading up to the grand finale. I live not too far from the Ranger Stadium. And from my house, you can see on Friday nights, at least they used to, I don't know if they still do, but on Friday nights they would shoot fireworks over the Ranger Stadium. And for my house, people would come when our kids were little, we used to open the window upstairs and pop popcorn. And we used to stare and watch the fireworks. And I thought, man, this is great. This is free. I don't have to pay for any of this. And so we got in on that. But let me tell you something. There were some amazing fireworks shows that they put on. I mean, we'd sit there. You know how you do. You sit there in fireworks and something goes up and goes, you go, ooh. And then they shoot another one up, and everybody goes, ah. If you've ever been out there, you know what I'm talking about? Everybody just kind of goes back and forth, ooh, ah, oh, that's beautiful. Now, us guys, we're like. But you know, mom and the kids, oh, wasn't that beautiful? The kids are like, yeah, that's beautiful. Dad's like. Hey, what I'm saying is, you know what the individual fireworks were? Though you sat there and thought, oh man, that's amazing. Oh, that's beautiful. May I remind you that those fireworks, as they shot up one at a time, they were just leading up to something. They were leading up to something that would be a finale of the whole thing. By the way, if you've been to enough fireworks shows, isn't that what you anticipate? Don't you anticipate, man, I'm here, I don't care if they're shooting these individual things, what I'm here is I want to see when they all go up. And when they all start exploding up in the air, it's called the grand finale. You see, if you've been to enough, that's what you anticipated. You anticipated the finale, right? You anticipated when the whole thing came together and just bang, bang, boom, bang. Listen, if you live where I live, those I don't know what those are that they shoot up, but I'm telling you, they will rattle the house. I mean, the dishes in the cabinets are rattling from whatever those are. It sounds like hand grenades. You see, something really big and exciting is what they put together to finish everything off. You see, church, when Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," He just actually began the build-up to the finale. Because 3 days and three nights later, the grand finale would take place there in an empty tomb where the stone would be rolled away, and out from that tomb would come the risen Savior. You see, when we read Scripture, it all builds toward, it all happens during, it all builds around the work of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Do you know the Bible that you hold in your hand is a story from beginning, Genesis to Revelation, about the coming of Jesus Christ? It's all about the Savior. It's all about what Jesus Christ would do in His redemptive plan to save mankind. You see, there has not been an event in the history of the world more grand, more impactful, more meaningful than the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, it was so impactful that when He was crucified prior to His resurrection, one of the centurions saw when Jesus gave up the ghost and the earth quaked and the sky turned dark. He said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." Hey, even the Roman soldiers saw it. When the women got to the tomb, the heavenly angels announced it. "He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Why look ye for the living among the dead?" You see, the women at the tomb got to hear it. Mary Magdalene got to experience it. When she came face to face with Jesus in the garden, she didn't recognize Him at first, but later she recognized Him and fell on her face and worshiped Him. When they told the disciples, remember the disciples ran to the tomb and they ran in. You know what? They didn't just get to experience it. They had to go and see it in order to believe it. Believe it. Hey, listen, you can take God at His word. You can trust the Lord. But they went to the tomb and went in and they got to experience and believe it. Hey, 8 days later, Thomas got to feel it. Yeah. You see, some people have to have the experience to see the empty tomb to believe it. Mary Magdalene got to experience it. The women got to hear it. The angels announced it. But Thomas got to feel it. 8 days later, when Jesus appeared unto His disciples, Thomas wasn't there the first time. And so when He came to church, by the way, that's the reason you ought to be in church, because you're going to miss something if you're not there. But anyway, He went to, 8 days later, He wasn't in church that previous Sunday. So He showed up the next Sunday. They said, "You're not going to believe what happened last Sunday at church." "What happened?" "Jesus showed up." "Oh, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe I saw Him crucified. I saw Him put Him in the tomb." "We're done, guys. Come on. Y'all wake up." Well, Jesus, about the time He was having that discussion, showed up again. And Thomas looked at Him. And Jesus said, "Thomas, take your finger and put it in the nail prints in My hand." He said, "Thrust your hand into My side." Thomas went over and touched the nail prints, looked at Jesus, thrust his hand in His side. Listen, he fell before Him and said, "My God, My Lord and My God." You see, Thomas, 8 days later, got to feel it. Can I say to you that every believer today now gets to enjoy it? We get to enjoy what we have to look forward to. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ unto eternal life is our hope today. And we anticipate, once again, His return, do we not? We anticipate Him coming back. And that day when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, what a day that's going to be. What an exciting day. All will come to fruition of everything that we've been taught and we've learned. Well, prior to Jesus' resurrection, there were other people that were raised from the dead in the Bible. When you look in Luke chapter 7, you'll find that Jesus interrupted a funeral procession in a little city called Nain. As they were heading out, Jesus walked into the city and He saw a funeral procession and He saw the boy's mama weeping. He had compassion on him, whatever, and stopped the funeral procession. He looked at that mama. He touched, the Bible says, He touched the bear and told that young man to rise up, and that boy came back to life. He gave him back to his mama. If you'll remember, Jairus, a very wealthy man, Luke chapter 8, had a daughter that had passed away, and he come and said, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter's sick and ill. And she had passed away. And Jesus raised his daughter likewise from the dead. Probably the most famous raising of the dead comes in John chapter 11 by the man named Lazarus. If you'll remember, the word came to Jesus and said, listen, your friend Lazarus, he's sick. Jesus said, well, we'll tarry here a little bit longer. They were anticipating that Jesus would come and save him, right? And help him to get well. Jesus, listen to me, allowed him to die on purpose for the glory of God. He shows up 4 days later. He says, where have you laid him? They said, he's in a tomb. He said, let's go out there. He said, roll the stone. Oh, Lord, you don't understand. By this time, he stinketh. He said, doesn't matter. Roll the tomb away. Or roll the stone away. Listen now. He rolled the stone away. And there that day, he called by name. You say, what's important about that? Because if he hadn't called Lazarus by name, everybody would have given up the dead. He called him by name. And so therefore, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb, and boy, that was the straw that broke the camel's back that day. Because the Pharisees got so irritated. Who does he think he is raising people from the dead? Now listen to me. All of these people were raised from the dead, listen to me now, but to die again. You see, they did not experience a resurrection. They experienced a revival. They were revived back to life. They came back. Jesus never intended for them to never die again. He raised them up for the glory of God. And they died again. Now, how would you like that? Have to experience it twice. But he used that situation to revive them. You say, like what, preacher? Well, that word revive just simply means to restore back to use. It means to bring back to consciousness. Let me give you an illustration. It would be like a paramedic that went out to a scene in an ambulance, and there when they got on the scene, that person was no longer responding. That person was no longer breathing. And that paramedic did CPR, that paramedic did his job, and brought that person back to life. In other words, they revived them. They did not resurrect them. They revived them. And Jesus revived the widow of Nain's son. He revived Jairus' daughter. He revived Lazarus. Listen to me. They died again. But Jesus claimed that he was the resurrection and the life. When he rose from the dead, it wasn't a revival, my friend. It was a resurrection unto eternal life. Never to die again. Big difference. You see, the resurrection is never mentioned in connection with the miracles that I just mentioned to you. Now, I want you to think about a few things this morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ being the grand finale of His earthly ministry. The power of that resurrection this morning. You say, preacher, what does it mean? Well, first of all, I think that we can find that it verified Jesus as the Son of God. Amen. The resurrection verified Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Listen, not only did the resurrection verify it, but all it did, it confirmed the witnesses. Jesus even said of himself in John 10:30, if you have seen me, or I and my Father are one. He said again in John chapter 14 and verse number 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Because I and my Father are one. It verified the witness that Jesus gave of himself. But wait a minute, it also verified the witness of what others said about him. Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Nicodemus looked at Jesus and said, Rabbi, Master, no man can do these things except God send him. Except God be with him. Nicodemus even recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. Remember Matthew 27, when Jesus died, he said, it's finished. The earthquake, the sky was draped with blackness. The centurion said, surely this is the Son of God. I just gave you the illustration about Thomas, John 20. Jesus told him to touch the scars in his hand and thrust his hand into his side. And he did. He said, my Lord and my God. You see, the resurrection verified that Jesus is the Son of God. No one could do what he did except God be in him and with him. But may I also remind you that it verified Jesus as the Son of God because of the witness of Scripture itself. Take your Bible, if you would, go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. Look at this. Probably one of the greatest passages of Scripture. Let me read it to you. John 1, beginning in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Beginning of what? The beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen now. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who? That's the Word. The Word is Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Remember, 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You cannot separate the three. They are God together. You said, preach, that sounds like three gods. No, that's one God who manifests Himself in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He's still doing it today. You see, from the witness of Scripture, the resurrection verified that Jesus is the Son of God. No other way. If you'll remember in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, remember there that we have the verification and the prophecy of the Son of God, the incarnate God that would come in human flesh in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. When Jesus came out of that tomb, it was just a verification that Isaiah was right. It was just a verification that Micah was right when he said where Jesus would be born. It was a verification of the Word of God throughout Scripture. You see, it verified Jesus' witness of Himself, the witness of others, but also the witness of Scripture. I'm here to tell you today, folks, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. No man, no one could do what He did except He be God. The second thing I notice about the resurrection is this. Not only does the resurrection verify Jesus as God the Son, but also the resurrection, listen to me now, notified death that it has no power over Jesus. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, listen to this. Wonderful verses, beginning in verse number 55. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Jesus, or the Scripture, talks about the resurrection. And here Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is death, or the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over what? Over death. That's the reason if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, you have no fear of death. Because to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because of who Jesus is. Because it verified Him as the Son of God. But listen, it notified death. You have no victory. You have no power over Jesus. Hey, death can only be satisfied with our mortal bodies. Now, it's going to have its way for a while, but there's going to come a day, friend, where death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. You see, death has always been submissive to the voice of God. May I remind you that death was submissive prior to the ministry of Jesus Christ? May I remind you that two prophets that you'll be quite familiar with, Elijah and Elisha, both raised somebody from the dead? May I remind you that in 1 Kings chapter 17 that Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son from the dead? Not of his own power, but by the power of God. He called on the Lord, and guess what? Death had to submit to the power of God. Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, remember the woman, the Shunammite woman, whose son, she couldn't bear children, and he blessed her and she gave birth and the boy died. And so she sent word and said, the boy's dead. He came. He said, oh, he's sleeping. And he raised him from the dead. You see, death was submissive prior to the ministry of Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. It was submissive during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Death was submissive during, we've already talked about the widow of Nain, that Jesus raised her son from the dead. Jairus' daughter, he raised her from the dead. Lazarus, he raised him from the dead. Listen to me. And then 3 days and three nights in the tomb, he raised himself from the dead. You see, death was submissive to the voice of God prior to Jesus' ministry, during Jesus' ministry, listen, and after Jesus' ministry. Remember in the book of Acts, remember Peter in Acts chapter 9, when he came in contact with a faithful servant by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas, and there she had passed away and everybody was mourning and weeping, and he went in and raised her from the dead, took her by the hand and raised her up. You see, death was submissive before, death was submissive during, and death was submissive after. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, death had to submit prior, during, and after. Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14? He goes into Lystra, preaches the gospel, and gets stoned for it. They drug him outside the city and threw him outside the city as a dead man. But God said, I'm not done with you yet, man. Listen now. And God raised him up from the dead. You say, but what if he didn't die? No, you don't know anything about stoning. When they stone you, they don't throw little rocks, folks. They throw big rocks, and then after they knock you unconscious, they crack your head open. You see, when they drug Paul out, supposing it was that he's a dead man. And if you don't believe that, he talks about his own experience of how he was caught up into the third heaven. He said, man, I saw some things incredible. God said, I can't write them down, though. Can't tell you about them. Hey, you know what? He visited. God says, not done with you yet. You're going back. Oh, man. Why? Because he wasn't done with Paul yet. He raised him from the dead. Listen to me. You know what he did? He went back into the same city, preached to the same people that stoned him. You see, death, it just the resurrection just notified death. You have no power over Jesus. You have no power. Hey, death couldn't hold Jesus in the grave if it wanted to. You see, death is not going to hold you in the grave when the voice of God calls you either. If you pass away and your body is taken out to a cemetery and put in that grave, one of these days, your Creator, your Maker, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call you. And you know what? His sheep hear His voice. And when the Lord calls, I'll know who it is. And when He calls, if I'm dead, listen, this body is going to reunite with my soul and spirit in the air. You say, oh man, the people that are dead are going to get to go up first. Hey, listen, folks, I'm not really concerned whether I'm dead or alive. I don't care if they get to go first. I'm just glad I'm going. Amen. Hey, the dead in Christ shall rise first, but we which are alive and remain. That's the believer that's alive, when that has the fortune of being alive, when the trumpet sounds and the cry of the archangel goes forth. Hey, listen, death cannot hold you in the grave as a child of God. We're going to be reunited with our Savior. Why? Because of the grand finale of the resurrection of Jesus. That's your hope. But may I say to you that if you're here this morning, you're without Jesus, death likewise will give you up also. Because there will come a day when your Creator will call you as well. According to Revelation chapter 20, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. God will call the dead, both small and great. Death will give up everything that it's claimed. And there, those people without Jesus Christ will stand before a thrice holy God, and they will give an account of themselves before their Creator. And those without Jesus will hear the awful words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." You see, death cannot hold the saved, but listen to me, it cannot hold the lost either. And those who die without Jesus Christ one day will face their Creator. I'm just here to tell you that the grand finale of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, it verified Jesus as the Son of God. Listen, it notified death. You have no power. You have no power over Jesus. But can I say one more thing to you this morning? That the resurrection of Jesus Christ justified God's plan of redemption for us. It fulfilled everything. It completed everything. Let me read you a passage of Scripture. Don't turn there. In Psalm chapter 49, I want you to listen to this. In Psalm 49, in verse number 15, the Scripture right here speaks and it says, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for He shall receive me." You see, the resurrection, it justified, it justified God's plan of redemption for us. God has a plan. And He has a plan to save everybody, listen, that want to be saved. But He also has a plan for your life. It's called the will of God. If you want to get in it, God says, come on, you can get in it and I'll bless you accordingly. Can I say to you that man could absolutely do nothing to fulfill God's requirement? There was nothing that man could do to fulfill the requirement that God demanded as far as salvation. That's the reason that Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice. He was the only one that could bear the sins of the whole world. May I remind you that when He was on that cross, you were on His mind. Because on that cross, my friend, He didn't just take your sins. Listen, He became sin for you. Every sin of the past, every sin of the future, or the present, and every sin of the future were placed on Jesus Christ. And listen, when He paid for me, it wasn't a down payment, my friend. It was payment in full forever and ever. Hey, when Jesus said, it's finished, He didn't mean that He made a down payment on your salvation. He said, it's done. It's finished forever. Not enough works could supply a place in heaven. Not enough praying. Not enough money. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. And He shed that over 2,000 years ago. You see, that resurrection justified God's plan of redemption because no man could fulfill God's requirement. May I remind you that no man could keep himself redeemed even if he could. Even if it was left up to him, he could not keep himself redeemed. You see, when Jesus said it's finished, He says, salvation is mine. He says, now you can have it, but I keep it. I'm keeping you saved. You see, think about it, folks. You realize that if you received eternal life and you could lose eternal life, then it couldn't be eternal life? You say, that's confusing. Say that again. All right, I will. If you received eternal life and could lose eternal life, it can't be eternal life. Right? It's not possible. All right? Then if it's not life forever, then would somebody explain what Jesus talked about in John 3:16? Either He's telling me the truth or not. And if He's telling me the truth, then whatever this salvation is, once I get it, I can't lose it, folks. Glory to God! Hey, the thing about it is, here's what people are confused on. Follow me now. Follow me. Here's what people get confused on. They cannot separate sonship from fellowship. See, here's what happens. People get so confused about what salvation is, they think if they get it and they do something wrong, then they're lost again. Listen to me. The only thing that you lose after you get saved, if you do wrong, is fellowship. You cannot lose sonship. My mother's still alive. She'll be 77 years old. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I get, where I go. It doesn't matter what I say in life. Do you know I'm still her son? Doesn't matter what I do. You say, well, that's you don't deserve to be her son. Well, maybe not, but I still am. Oh, by the way, can I say that most of us in here, matter of fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say 100% of us don't deserve Jesus either. But He still extended the offer, right? He still extended the offer to be born into the family of God. Hey, man couldn't keep himself saved even if he had to. It's finished. It's exactly what Jesus said. Listen, He meant what He said and said what He meant. It's finished. Hey, we're not capable of eternal security. Can you imagine your salvation being dependent upon you? What would you do? How would you keep it? You couldn't. The wonderful thing is, I don't have to. It's all in the favor of Jesus. He's keeping me saved. You see, we can't even control our own thoughts. How could we control our redemption? We can't even control our passions. How could we control everlasting life? We couldn't. The only person that can do that is the Lord. And you know how He can do it? Because of the resurrection. Let me say one last thing this morning. Resurrection of Jesus Christ justified every part of God's plan. It justified who Jesus is. It justified what Jesus said. And listen, it justified how you're to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I know this may be a shocker, but you know there's no way to get to heaven outside of Jesus. It's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not doing good things. It's not contributing to a charitable organization. You see, salvation justifies who Jesus is, what He said, and how to be saved. You know, Jesus wants to perform another resurrection this morning. Yeah, He sure does. And you know what? I'm afraid there might be some here this morning that need to be resurrected. You say, wait a minute, I thought you said I just need to be revived. No, no, no. Your soul needs to be resurrected unto eternal life. And Jesus is ready and prepared this morning to perform another resurrection. You see, without Jesus, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We have no hope. We have no life. We have no light, no future without Christ. Listen today. And you know what you'll hear? You'll hear that still small voice. If you know not Christ, and that still small voice is saying, come forth. Come forth unto eternal life. May I ask you this morning, do you feel like that you're in a tomb somewhere? If you'll listen to that still small voice, you'll hear the voice of Jesus calling you out of that tomb of despair. He's calling you out of that tomb of hopelessness. He's calling you out of that tomb of emptiness and frustration this morning. Hey, He wants to resurrect your soul. He wants to resurrect it unto eternal life. Listen, to never die again. Are you listening this morning? He's calling. Because that grand finale, hey listen, all the things that Jesus did, those were wonderful things, but those were just single events. But I'm telling you, on the third day, when the stone was rolled away, the grand finale came forth. The wonderful grand finale of the resurrection verified that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, it notified death. You have no power here. You have no power over Jesus. But this morning, it justified. It justified God's plan of redemption. That plan of redemption is just as available to you today as it was to them in Jesus' day. Redemption's already been paid. The wonderful news is you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do certain things. You don't have to live a certain life. What you've got to do is you just have to come and receive it. You see, when my mother gave birth to me, she gave birth to me. I didn't do anything good to be born as her son. Then that means I can't do anything bad to undo being her son. I didn't do anything good to come into this world, so I can't do anything bad to get out of it. Hey, she gave birth, and when Jesus gives the new birth, let me tell you something. You couldn't do anything bad enough, even if you had wanted to, that He can't forgive. You see, it's sonship and fellowship. Get the two straight. Salvation is sonship. Once you get into the family of God, you're a child of God forever. You're not always going to live right. You're not always going to do right. And when we do wrong as a child of God, listen, you don't lose sonship, you lose fellowship. That's the reason the Scripture says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the point is, we have to separate the two. And the grand finale of the resurrection provided eternal life for every person here this morning. Would you bow your heads for just a second? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving about. This is a very, very important time in our service. This is the invitation time. I wonder how many this morning can say, preacher, I am a born-again believer. There's no question in my mind, if the trumpet sound, the cry of the archangel went forth, or if I face death, there's no question, preacher, I am a born-again child of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You said, I'm not even ashamed of it. I'll tell you right now, preacher, I'm a child of God. No question about it. All right? You can put your hands down. Nobody's looking around. There were some that could not raise their hand this morning. Maybe you have some doubt about your eternal destiny. Maybe you're unclear on what salvation is. Maybe you're unclear about the teachings of Scripture. But you say, preacher, it's not that I don't want to go to heaven. I do. It's just that I just don't know how. Nobody's ever taken the Bible and explained to me how to be born into the family of God. And you say, preacher, would you pray for me, please, this morning? I want to go to heaven. I want to know that heaven is my home. And you at least let me pray for you this morning. Nobody's looking but me. We're in church. Let's be honest this morning. And you say, preacher, I don't know that heaven's my home. Would you please pray for me? I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up high and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you and you. Just slip it up. You can slip it right back down. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. There's three. There's four. There's five. Who would join these five? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. And God bless you. There's six. There's seven. There's eight. Who would say, preacher, that's me. Who would join these eight? Say, preacher, I don't know for sure. that if I died and go to heaven, pray for me. God bless you. There's another one. There's nine. Who will join these nine? Hey, folks, we're talking about your soul. We're talking about participating in the grand finale, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did it for you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. There's number 10 right there. There's one right there. God bless you. There's number 11. All right, someone else. Someone just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. You slip your hand down. God bless you. There's number 12. Someone else. Hey, listen, I'll keep going as long as people want to be saved and they want prayer. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. There's number 13. God bless you. There's number 14. All right, someone else. Say, preacher, that's me. I'll wait. I'll wait. We're talking about your soul. This could be the last opportunity that you have to be born into the family of God. Don't pass it up. Don't pass it. Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again for this cause right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. There's number 15. God bless you. There's number 16. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody? All right, you can put your hands down. Some here this morning already know the Lord. Maybe someone has come to your door. Maybe somebody you work with, next door neighbor, has taken the Bible and explained to you how to be saved. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus. But after you've been saved, you've never been baptized according to the Scriptures. Baptism is not to be saved. Baptism is because we're saved. Baptism is an outward expression of your inward condition, and the Scripture teaches that we ought to obey Him immediately after salvation. Maybe you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've never been baptized according to the Scriptures. You know it's the right thing to do, and you'd say, preacher, I need to obey God in that area of my life. Please pray for me. If you're like that this morning, I want you to slip your hand up high and say, that's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. You say, preacher, that's me. I've been saved, but never been baptized. I need to obey God in that area. God bless you. And you, and you, and you. There's four. Anybody else? God bless you. Three. There's seven. Anybody else? You say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody else will join these? God bless you. There's number eight. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. God bless you. There's number nine. Anybody? One more time. One more time. Need to be baptized, preacher. I've already been saved. Anybody else? All right. All right. Then one last thing. I'm under how many believers this morning would say, preacher, I remember what you read in the Scripture a while ago when the angels told those women, come, see, go. And you say, preacher, I know the Lord. I'm right with God right now, but my voice, my going and telling people has not been what it ought to be. I know the message of the death, burial, and resurrection, but I haven't been telling it like I ought to. I'm a Christian, preacher. Would you pray that God will empower me to be a voice of Jesus Christ, either to my family, co-workers, or neighbors? You say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm going to ask you, would you take complete control of this invitation time? Father, the Word has been taught, the Word has been preached, and the power of the saving grace of Jesus Christ has been made known. And Father, there's not a sin this morning that exists in this building that you cannot forgive. There's not a person in this building today, Lord, beyond salvation. They can be saved if they'll come and put their faith and trust in you. And Father, all we have to do is realize that our sin has condemned us to an eternity without God. And that there's an awful penalty on that sin, which is death and hell and separation from God forever. But glory be to God, Jesus has come and paid our sin debt for us. And now today, all these dear people have to do is receive you as their Savior. I pray for, I believe there were 16 people, Lord, that raised their hand. Please don't let the invitation go by without them putting their faith and trust in you. There was probably 6 or 8 people, Lord, that needed to be baptized. And if this morning is that morning, if today is that day that they need to come and obey you, that they'll step out by faith and come do the right thing. And then probably hundreds of hands were raised, Lord, as far as people who said, I'm a Christian preacher, but my voice has not been very loud about the message of Jesus Christ. May the power of God fall fresh upon them this morning to be a testimony and a witness for thee. And we'll be careful and give you all the glory and all the praise for what you shall do in this invitation time this morning. Move, we pray, Holy Spirit. Convict, I pray in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? During our invitation time, I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask the song leader to begin to sing. This morning, listen, you come. If I prayed for you, you say, preacher, I just need the Lord. Don't be ashamed of Christ. If you raise your hand, say, preacher, I need to be saved. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. Would you come? I prayed for you.
Hey, if you don't know, this is your opportunity to come. Don't be ashamed. Come on, we'll have somebody take you aside and open the Bible and explain to you how to be saved. Oh, this is your opportunity. Oh, come. Come. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We're talking about your soul. Don't let this day pass. There's no guarantee of another day. And yet eternal life is available to you this morning. If you know the right thing to do, let's make that right decision this morning. Oh, I plead with you in Christ's stead. If you don't know, come. We're going to sing it through again. Come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. Come on, this is your opportunity. Listen, if you raise your hand, I prayed for you. God sent you here because He knew that you needed to hear the message of Jesus Christ. He knew that you knew the condition of your soul. Hey, if nothing else, would you just let us pray with you? Let somebody take you aside and have prayer. Maybe you have a need this morning. You come. Come on. We'll be patient.
There's room at the cross for you.